making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cavs just have to get it across half court, and they do. In the hands of John Holland. Cleveland Cavaliers shake it up, blow it up, start over, and they come to Boston, and they blow out the candles on Paul Pierce Day and blow out the Celtics. The final score, Cleveland 121, Boston 99.
You know, we're only about 4 minutes away from a major announcement on this show.
Was it made earlier this morning?
I don't think so. No, it wouldn't have been. It would not have been made earlier on the station today. I'm going to blow your minds with an announcement in 3.5 minutes. That's easy to stay tuned for.
That's right.
Don't go
that's
anywhere.
That's right. It would not have
been made this applied
morning.
To the morning show.
Wow.
So it's going to blow your minds. There is going to be celebration. There is going to be dancing in the streets. There's going to be everything coming up. And that's... Like, look at that clock. It just keeps ticking. We're like 3 minutes away now. What a short segment. Thanks, Fred. That was the Celtics yesterday who lost to LeBron. Let's just call it what it is. They lost to LeBron James yesterday.
They got blew out. That was not a good basketball
game. Does that frustrate Celtics fans? Does that get them upset?
It should.
That when LeBron feels motivated and feels like, we're falling apart. You guys are counting us out. You're counting me out. And you're thinking that I don't have a chance and can't compete in the playoffs. Well, guess what? Here's another big win in your face for the second straight year, Boston. Here you go.
I'm not ready to fully pull back on my assertion that the Celtics can win the East and will win the East. But it has long been my contention that if LeBron James decides to stop screwing around, he can win any series against any team except for Golden State. We've seen that now that he himself cannot beat Golden State. But any other team with LeBron James, the best basketball player on the planet out there, he can at any point decide, you know what? That's right. I'm the best player of this game in the world, and I can win this game essentially single-handedly and a seven-game series. Now, I didn't think that was the case anymore because that team was in such disarray and that it had caused him to have such, I guess, ambivalence toward the whole process.
Yeah.
Seems to be reignited by the addition of all the young wingers.
Feels rejuvenated.
Yeah, a little bit. Wow, they were partying on that bench yesterday, boy.
New life in Cleveland.
Woo, that was a good time they were having, those Cavaliers. Man, were they excited.
I don't even works for a seven-game series against the Celtics.
I don't know that it does.
I don't know
either.
That it will. But here's my only point about this, and has been my point. He's still a factor.
Oh, yeah.
He's still a factor.
And maybe...
Let's not completely discount that there will be something to deal with there if the time comes.
And here's the thing, Beetle.
To deal with Cleveland and LeBron.
To really inflict the damage, if you want to have a prayer of winning the East, and make no mistake, I'm not looking past Toronto either in this
whole
process. No,
I think they're a bigger factor.
He can inflict a lot of damage just by beating the bag out of you for two or three games and forcing you to seven while Golden State plows through the entire Western Conference. So he can inflict his damage even if he doesn't beat you in a seven-game series. And he may not have enough supporting cast to beat a healthy Celtics squad in a final series. But man, oh man.
He will
that
keep
game
you on
yesterday,
your toes.
It's just... It shows you he can still do it when he decides he wants to.
All right, so we'll talk more about that and also Paul Pierce's retirement ceremony that took place after the game last night. And are you ready for the major mind-blowing announcement?
Are we doing
now? I'm not underselling this, by the way.
No.
I'm not underselling this. No. Or I should say overselling it. Excuse me. I'm not overselling this. We're going to obviously take a brief break here. And typically at this time of day, at this time of hour, you would hear John Feinstein. You would hear some wretched, useless, stale take from John Feinstein. And starting right now, we no longer play John Feinstein on this show.
What?
In fact, we don't play CBS Sports Minutes on this show anymore. That starts right now.
But you know what, Beetle? I feel bad about it.
That, to me, is a major, major announcement and a major relief for the greater Boston area and all of our listeners, and especially us.
And
because we listen all.
To make up for it, I am going to do my own Sports Minute. It's a birthday shout-out to Tiger great Chet Lemon, born on this date in 1955. Chet Lemon was, I believe, part of the 84 Tigers World Series squad.
And that right there is better than anything Feinstein has ever done. So we'll be back. We got McCone on headlines. We're talking Celtics out of the gate.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Well, they've had good players the whole time. I mean, they've obviously got a great player that has the ball a lot that you've got to account for in all of the different situations they put him in. And then he's surrounded by shooters. And those guys all can score the ball. The two guys rolling to the rim really hurt us tonight as well. And, you know, we didn't defend at our normal rate. We came out really playing well offensively again. But, you know, credit them. They played really well. Well, we'll watch them a lot more. We'll go back and look at how we played them. We'll go back and look at what we can do different. They added four really good players. And those guys all played well tonight.
And the Celtics got smoked by LeBron and company. As Chris Gasper wrote in the Globe today, the LeBrons live. That was the lead to his story. The LeBrons lived. They live. New look Cavaliers. Look like a real team. Gasper wrote, a bouncier, better shooting, more defensively dedicated version of the Cavaliers destroyed the Celtics. Cleveland's new players, guards George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, wing Rodney Hood, and forward Larry Nance Jr. combined for 49 points and were a combined plus 43 on the day. Right now, both teams are looking up at the Toronto Raptors, owners of the top spot in the East, but these Cavaliers, who led by 21 points after three quarters and by as much as 29, look like a tougher matchup for the Celtics than anyone in the East. They're certainly tougher than the decrepit Cleveland club that creaked and complained its way to a 7-13 record between Christmas Day and their final game together on February 7th. He writes, if the Cavaliers play with this intensity and lack of misery with their remade roster, then the three deals that Cleveland GM Kobe Altman made last Thursday could go down as the Cleveland version of former Red Sox GM Theo Epstein jettisoning Nomar Garciaparra in 2004 at the deadline. Could be that big of a swing, a culture-changing swing for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I also want to know, all the people that were saying that trade deadline day was a win for the Celtics, are you still saying that? Are you still saying that just a few days later now? I know there was a lot of, the Celtics won trade deadline day without doing anything. How about now? How are you feeling now about that take?
Hey, you can't win and you can't lose if you don't play. They didn't play. So N.A., not available. Did not complete. They got an I on their report card.
Well, they were getting a win. They were getting a W on Thursday from a lot of people. Oh, so, well, at least locally. Nationally, they were painting the Celtics as losers. I read a Washington Post story on Friday that had said the Celtics are the big losers here. How can nobody see that?
We talked about it that day of the trade. We said, didn't we say it's a lose-lose?
I did. I know I did.
I'm like, it's a lose-lose because the Lakers are probably going to be better with Isaiah, and the Cavs are going to be better with their guys.
I admit the Lakers thing could go either way. I don't know how that's going to go. But I thought Kobe Altman had a great day, and I said that day. I'm like, Cavs had a good day, people. They had a good day. They've set themselves up for the now. They've set themselves up for going forward. If they don't have LeBron, they at least have something there. The cupboard isn't completely bare. It's not a bunch of old guys and malcontents. Like, they've got something figured out. They had a decent day. They had balls on trade deadline day.
Yeah.
They said, this isn't working. This is a bad group of guys. Let's blow it up. And then they came to Boston and crushed the Celtics on Paul Pierce retirement night. Brutal. Like that. Just the optics of it are brutal. You're like, damn. Damn it, Celtics. You couldn't have given Paul Pierce something a little better than that? I mean, Doc Rivers was there as a fan. Couldn't give him something to cheer about? Anything? 617-779-0985. Danny's in Stowe. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Beto. Is it me, Beto, or is everybody just standing around waiting for somebody to do something on offense? at the beginning of the year, these guys were going side to side, creating openings, movement without the ball. I'm not seeing that anymore.
I'm seeing an uninspired effort by everybody.
Well, they're tired. That's what the team had said last night, that they were tired. Now they.
I'm 62 and I run quicker than they do.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
I want to see that.
They got a nice long rest during that London trip. Now some people will say that traveling isn't resting, and I understand that you can be all worn out from sitting on an airplane for 5-6 hours, but doesn't seem enough to really to take all the wind out of your sails. And let's face it, you said it from the top, Beetle. LeBron was inspired last night. He's playing with new guys, new playmates. Let's go out and have some fun. Man, were they having a good time. Did you see that bench last night? Oh, man, they were really enjoying the crap out of themselves. Just celebrating every big play, every big offensive play, every stop. Man, they were into it. Kind of made you jealous. Wow, seeing guys really getting into it that much.
Wow, really enjoying the experience.
You're really enjoying this win. That'd make me feel too good.
As they should.
Yes.
I mean, I don't blame them for that. I don't blame them for being into it.
Out of the gate like that, to be able to go come into Boston, the team that presumably you're going to have to face in the conference finals with a decisive victory at the Garden. 22-point win, and it wasn't that close. Well, seems cause for celebration to me. I don't blame them.
They were trying to lose by 34. Celtics, this was the goal last night. You know, they had to get it done before Paul Pierce's wife's birthday because she wanted to have this happen while she was 34. They were going to try and do something similar numerically as a sign of just a nod. You know, it'd be much harder to win by 34. That's like really, really hard.
We're not going to do that.
They felt like they could manage the loss into a 34-point loss, and that would be their gift. That would be their personal gift to Paul Pierce.
Paul, why don't you look at the scoreboard right now? It's still up there from when the game ended a little while ago. You'll notice the point differential, 34. That's for you. That's for you, Truth.
That's for you.
I know I texted this to you guys yesterday, but this is what it feels like to be the rest of the AFC.
Yes, it's a perfect
Brady comes
comparison.
In and just tears your heart out, and LeBron does it every year to the Celtics.
Yep, yeah. It is. LeBron is Tom Brady. Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah, he's good.
And that's why, like, they go through a stretch where things don't go well. They make a tweak, and all of a sudden, oh, we're back. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't go. Oh, false alarm. False alarm. Nope, we're not dead yet. Not dead. Still here, guys. And Boston's still here. Still doing the thing. LeBron, what is he now? How old is LeBron now? 33? Still doing it. Even in the hallway, doing his little back and forth there, working out.
He got the resistance
bands. On the ball, blocking B-Rob out.
Yeah.
Trainer being like, nope.
Why does he have to do that in the hallway?
Because there is so little space to do anything there.
So that is legit.
Yeah,
I don't blame him. And if you don't know what Beetle's talking about, there was a video posted yesterday of Brian Robb, who... Because of the scale of the photograph and because of the, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, when anything behind something else has a tendency to look, what is it, smaller or bigger in a photo? Must look bigger.
I thought he looked tall in that photo.
He looked really tall, and he's walking up behind, LeBron is in the hallway of the Garden doing a workout, resistance bands, flexing, just a specimen. Oh, what a sight to behold that man is. And Brian Robb just trying to saunter past and go get himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which he lives for, that kid. And he got the
arm bar.
The arm bar from the trainer who was monitoring LeBron's resistance band workout. No, I don't care who you are. What, Boston Sports Journal? Yeah, you can wait. You can wait until the king has finished his workout here in the hallway. So there's a. Did you retweet it, Beetle?
I don't know that I did, but we're gonna have to call B Rob today.
It's on our Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, we're gonna call. We're gonna get
Zolak and Bertrand.
We need to get B Rob on the phone because I'm just curious to know: did he think he was actually going to be able to sneak by him? There's no room. It's not a wide hallway. It's sort of a narrow hallway. And I watched it and I saw the arm bar go up and I laughed like everyone else did. But did B Rob really think he was going to be able to sneak through there? Now,
it would have been funnier if he tried to sneak through and LeBron pinned him up against the wall.
Oh, that would be funny. Now, that's a hallway that people are traveling through all the time. Everybody. Players, media, everything. So it's not unusual that someone would be walking down that hallway. But I'm just wondering, did he think he was actually going to be able to navigate around that workout?
Well, maybe he didn't know what was going on.
He is, I mean, he is thin. just up against the wall. He is like paper thin, so maybe that's why he had the confidence to try and get around LeBron James in that hallway.
He had a good little strut, though. He wasn't hesitant at all.
You know, wearing that suit, he looks like he could weigh as much as 145 pounds. He looks a lot beefier in that thing. Not the 112 we know he's walking around at. His fighting weight might be closer to 115, but...
He is a waif.
He's... Just a little stick of a man.
Yeah, that's right. 617-779-0985. Cam is in Taunton with the Celtics slot. Cam.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that was a great day yesterday. I mean, I was lucky enough to be there. And you think your team would have put out a little bit of a better effort when they were retiring Paul Pierce's number. And, Hardy, you're right. I mean, every basket the Cavs were scoring, that bench was jumping off the bench, running out, high-fiving everybody. It was insane. But the big takeaway for me yesterday is I'm starting to worry that Jaylen Brown is Jeff Green Jr. I mean, he sucked. Yesterday, bad. He couldn't hit a damn thing. I mean, I don't think he scored until he hit a free throw in the fourth quarter. I know he's young, and I know he's got room to grow, and we knew what Jeff Green was when he got here. But is this a legitimate worry that this guy's just way too inconsistent?
I hope he's not Jeff Green Jr. Oh, man. I hope that's not the case.
Come on.
I hope we didn't get excited for him the way we were excited for Jeff Green. I mean, there was a time we were excited about Jeff Green.
I was excited for Jeff Green for a total of 8 seconds. He hit a big three-pointer to beat the Heat. And again, do you remember that? McCone remembers that. Was it a playoff?
No, that was a regular season.
Just a regular season game.
Peak Jeff Green.
Oh,
right
my
there.
God.
That was Brad Stevens' debut, wasn't it?
His first game?
No.
What about Brad Stevens' first game as a coach?
How long has Stevens been here? I'm going back to like 2010.
McCone and I both remember a three-pointer from
the corner
the corner to beat Miami, and it was glorious.
That is
the one moment I have burned into my brain from the Jeff Green era in Boston. That's it.
When they acquired him, when they brought him back after they drafted him, traded him on draft night, all that. When they brought him back, I mean, there was some high hopes for him that he was going to be able to be a real player. You know, and he has all these tools that we look at Jaylen Brown at and say, oh, look, he's athletic, he can shoot, he can do all these things. Please, I hope not. I hope it's just an inconsistency issue of a second-year player. And not that he turns into Jeff Green, just another one of these wing guys that Danny Ainge falls in love with. Time will tell. I still believe, and I've said all along, the ceiling for Tatum is higher.
It's got to be.
It is.
Has to be.
Sorry. I know that upsets the Jaylen Brown fan club, but it just is. 617-779-0985. Let's talk about that Paul Pierce retirement ceremony that Cam said was obviously very special and was a great night for the Celtics organization despite the loss at the hands of LeBron James. We'll get to that after headlines with Tim McCone, who's with us today.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Paul Pierce is number 34 going up into the rafters at the Garden last night. As for the game itself, that didn't exactly go well. Celtics fall into the Cavs 121-99. LeBron James, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists in the win. Celtics back at it on Wednesday when they take on the Clippers. Bruins, meanwhile, picked up a 5-3 win over the Devils last night. Adam McQuaid, the game winner for Boston.
Felt good, obviously. Not really sure how it went in, but it found a way, and it was good to get that win tonight after, you know, what we felt like wasn't our best effort last night.
Bruins are off tonight. They'll take on the Flames tomorrow. Colts have their new head coach, Indianapolis, going with Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich. He's even signed the contract. It's for 5 years. Former NFL quarterback Johnny Manziel announced he has been diagnosed as bipolar and is taking medication for it, and according to San Diego police, former Major League pitcher Esteban Loaiza was arrested Friday with 20 kilos of heroin or cocaine. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by...
Serious weight there,
yeah, that's
McCone.
No joke.
What the hell was he doing this weekend? What hell of a party he was throwing.
Brought to you by the Injury Law Center. If you're injured, you need a team of trial attorneys who are dedicated to injury cases. Set up a free consultation at injury-law-center.com. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, man. And Danny, for you, when you first got here, you were cleaning house. I just knew I was gone. I mean, he traded everybody, but thank you for sticking with me, having belief in me, and helping me become a champion. Thank you so much, man. That's big. That was big. That's big.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Move mountains. We can walk it out and move mountains.
I don't get this song. I don't know why this was used. A lot of poor musical selections during the course of this Pierce thing yesterday.
Called Rise Up.
Great.
I thought it was Adele. I didn't know who it was.
Who is it? I still don't know who it is.
Andra Day.
Okay. All right, then.
I thought it was...
They get this off of Paul Pierce's iPod?
Is his phone he was reading off of there?
Personal choice?
Yeah. Is that his wife's phone?
Had a nice like pink case on it.
Okay. Who is this?
I don't know. I forget the name, and Jim just told me 30 seconds ago.
I thought it was Amy Winehouse.
Andra Day.
All right. Well, I'm glad that Kevin Garnett was able to be there and capture the whole thing on his phone. Would you put the damn thing away, please? Oh, it is the most obnoxious thing. People who are, like, intimately involved with it. I saw it at the Olympics the other night. I know we're going to have our Olympics minute later with Beadle, who's all enamored. He's gone all Jim Louth with the Winter Olympics.
That's not true.
It's totally not true. 100%
you were not a part
statement.
Of the conference call this morning.
Giselle, every time you see her at the end of a big game, at the AFC Championship last year, the Super Bowl, got to have the phone out, got to swing it around, got to show everybody my reaction, then look down on the field. Why don't you just be there? Just be there in the moment, Kevin. You were part of that. You were down there. Yes, you're there to honor Paul Pierce. Were you afraid there would be no other footage available? So you had to get down there and hold your phone up like a child? Stop it. Like Put them away. I'll probably regret it. I will probably regret not having as many photos and videos of my kids at this age as other people do at some point in life. But for right now, I kind of enjoy just watching.
No, you don't want to be one of those parents that watches their whole kid's childhood through a screen.
Yeah,
you're at a show. Your little kid's doing like a concert or something. You're watching it through that like tiny little screen instead of watching it with your eyeballs.
I have hardly any of that stuff. Just not my thing. Why do you do that? Who are you going to show it to? Did Kevin Garnett go back and watch that on the plane home last night?
You're going to post it to Facebook and check every 5 minutes to see how many likes it gets.
Of course.
I guess.
Of course. Ugh. So these retirement-type things, they rarely live up to the hype, right? Do you feel like they live up to the hype? Did David Ortiz live up to the hype?
Which part? Like, bridge, the jersey,
right. It's
the
like,
statue? The footprints out in front of the Tasty Burger? Which part? They're all hype.
They're all hype.
I'm not a big retirement guy. I'm not even a big Hall of Fame guy. It's not my thing. I thought it was nice. I had no idea it lasted an hour. I saw that after the fact.
I watched the entire thing.
You watched every single minute of it.
I sat down.
There is no
when it started.
Way.
And I watched.
No way.
I watched the entire thing.
With the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am going on at the same time, there was no way I was going to watch that entire retirement ceremony.
Start to finish.
No chance.
Watch that entire ceremony, Hardy.
You're nuts.
Because, I grew up in an era where Paul Pierce represented like something good about the Celtics for once. The Celtics sucked in the early 90s.
Okay.
It was brutal.
All right.
They were just terrible. And then they got Paul Pierce, and Paul Pierce was the first guy you felt like, hey, we had someone who was legit. For once. And this all, of course, coming after Reggie Lewis had died and everything that was tragic about the Celtics from the late 80s into the early 90s with, you know, you go as far back as Len Bias to Larry Bird's back issues to the death of Reggie Lewis. Everything sucked around the Celtics in that time. And it wasn't until later on, like late 90s, where you felt like they maybe had something. And they did. They had something in Paul Pierce.
They did.
That was true. So I love Paul Pierce. Like, he's my generation Celtic. Right?
Not Ricky Davis.
Not Ricky Davis.
Because he was the face of the franchise there for about 20 minutes.
It was not Ron Mercer. It was obviously not Chauncey Billups, as he was traded like 6 minutes after getting here. But Paul Pierce was our guy. So I was interested to watch. I really wanted to see it because I really like Paul Pierce.
Okay.
And then I was like,
did it live? Okay. The only reason why you asked the question.
It was a letdown.
You asked the question so you could answer. So you asked me, did it live up to the hype? I don't know. I wasn't hyping it at all in my head.
It didn't.
So not available. Beetle, did it live up to the hype?
No.
Why not?
I think these things are hard to live up to the hype because they're not new. They're not unique anymore.
Well, I'll tell
they're
you,
all the same.
First of all, the hour-long Paul Pierce tribute, as SB Nation put it earlier, came after a 48-minute LeBron James tribute that took place on the court right beforehand.
Fair point.
So that 48-minute LeBron James tribute kind of took the wind out of the sails. All the 12 minutes longer, but the first tribute, a lot of people found more compelling, I guess. So then they do the Paul Pierce thing. What did you think it was going to be, and why wasn't it that? I'm interviewing you now. What did you think it was going to be, Beetle?
I don't know. I thought there may have been a memorable moment or two created, but there just wasn't. It's hard to do.
I always think back to when I was young, the Larry Bird one.
That was Magic coming out, and they ripped the warm-up off, and Magic's got the Celtics T-shirt underneath. Like, oh.
That wasn't even a game night, though. They filled the Garden
Larry
on a non-game night.
Yeah. Larry Bird night. They sold tickets just to Larry Bird
Didn't
night.
Didn't Costas host it, I think?
Yep, Bob Costas was the host. They could have done that for this, because this ticket was hot for yesterday. They should have done that for this.
How'd Murray make out?
I don't know. Did he go?
I don't think he ended up going.
Oh.
Check his Twitter timeline.
There's that. There's two retirement moments that I can think of. Okay? One is Larry Bird night, because it was its own thing, and Larry Bird obviously being the next level type of guy. The other one is Esposito getting his number retired and Bork ripping off the jersey and him wearing 77 under the number 7 jersey. And basically, right there on the spot, announcing I'm switching numbers. I'm not going to wear 7 anymore. Like,
and I was too young for that one. You were way too young for that one.
Yes, but we've all obviously relived it a million times. I mean, just that. Like, I don't know. You hope for something like that for a guy who was around for as long as he was. But we didn't get that with Ortiz. We didn't get it with Pierce.
No. And in answer,
and I think you rarely do get it.
In answer to your question, Jim Murray did not go. Apparently, he spent a lot of time pooping all over it on his Twitter timeline. 17 hours ago, he tweeted, "Well, even though that sucked, big shout out to me for not paying the laughably absurd prices people thought they'd get for a pair of tickets."
Well, they did get those prices because he didn't pay them. Mm. Someone else paid them.
Mm.
Ah, silly you.
Burn.
Getting all your money for your tickets that I didn't pay you, but someone else did. I don't think people had a hard time getting rid of those tickets yesterday. That was a very hot ticket. I know someone that got a single ticket right before game time to sit in the upper deck and paid $250. So people were obviously getting the money for the tickets.
Oh.
Okay? That wasn't the problem. 617-779-0985. And then there was also the case of revisionist history, which happens in these events. The revisionist history is a little annoying when you get to these days. We can talk about that. Get to your calls, your reaction to the game, and Paul Pierce retirement night next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the sports app.
We had a key meeting in the spring of 07. We promised to get you some more help, and you promised to recommit and get in incredible shape and come in loaded, ready to go in fall of 07. And thanks to Danny for building the team and Doc for coaching the team and my ownership partners, who are always there. Ownership partners always there with everything, for everything we ever needed. And thanks to the fans, look what happened.
That's from yesterday's retirement ceremony for Paul Pierce. And there was a lot of the Pierce hung in there. Pierce loved everything Celtics. Pierce was as pissed off as the rest of us, which is why we loved him. Pierce in 2007, before they put the thing together, was telling Jackie McMullen in the Globe that he thought about wanting to just go up and ask for a trade, that he considered doing that because the team sucked. And he said, I just want to win, which is why I think we liked him. Everyone read that. I remember reading that at the time in 2007 and saying, this guy is thinking about going upstairs to the front office and asking for a trade. And he's not wrong. He wasn't wrong. Now, there are other things that he did that were a little bit immature and childish while he was here. That was not one of them, to say this team stinks and the team doesn't look to be getting any better. And I remember when they lost 18 in a row. Remember when they lost the 18 games in a row? How he said, I didn't think we were that bad. Now, he was hurt around that time, but he said, I didn't think we were that bad of a team. And I'm paraphrasing. Like, he was shocked that they were capable of losing 18 in a row. It kind of came to that realization that we are terrible. This team is going nowhere. And his comments back in 07 were about how, well, I don't want to just be a team that squeaks into the playoffs. I don't want to be what we were, maybe that surprise team. Going back to the Kenny Anderson years. You know, he didn't want to be the surprise team that, oh, we went on a good run. He wanted to be a great team, which is what they ended up being. But he would have bailed on the Celtics, and he wouldn't have been wrong to have bailed on the Celtics. And I feel like in that speech, it's, you know, he's stuck with us. He stuck with us while, you know, I saw Jones's tweets last night. Even though Danny tried to trade you once or twice. Even though he had decided to go upstairs and maybe tell ownership, I'm out of here. You guys need to move me. You need a. I'm demanding a trade.
Stuck with you after the trade negotiations broke down.
Right.
Do I remember a Chris Paul Pierce trade? Is that what they were looking at?
I don't recall.
Pierce for Paul?
That was Rondo, wasn't it? Weren't they trying to flip Rondo?
But it wasn't like, but I'm going way back, though. I'm going back to before they built it up. Before they became the championship Celtics with Pierce and Garnett. So Garnett was there yesterday, and this begs the question, do you retire his number next?
See, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that his number was going to get retired. That people just felt that since he was such an integral part, and maybe this may sound like heresy, the day after the Paul Pierce ceremony, a more important piece of that puzzle than Paul Pierce was, that his number was going to get retired. I always thought it was a little weird because he spent such a short amount of time here. Like, it wasn't a very long stay in Boston. And nobody for a second would consider retiring Ray Allen's number when he was essentially here for the same amount of time, had a big contribution to that championship in 08. Hell, Ray Allen wasn't even there yesterday. He's tweeting pictures from the golf course.
With George Lopez.
Yeah, because George Lopez got a hole-in-one. Did he even make mention of the fact that... But look, the way Ray Allen left here, I will never be okay with, and I don't think Celtics fans should be, but they are. But they're not okay with him getting his jersey retired. They seem to be with Kevin Garnett. Garnett doesn't feel to me like he's got the tenure. The amount of time that you should have to put in order to get your jersey retired.
Six full seasons. Close to 400 games.
The bar isn't really high with the Celtics.
No, compared to some of the guys, and listen, I think that's a bad example because the Celtics have been stupid in the past and who they've retired numbers for. But I think if you look at Garnett, you can make a decent case for him. He was the best player on a championship team. He was the best player on a team that won a championship. He was the best player on another team that went to the finals and should have won.
Six seasons.
That's a good... I mean, that in this modern age of the NBA, six seasons is a long time.
It's a lifetime.
Right. I mean, that means for most guys, you played half your career in one spot.
Mm-hmm. But I always think of him as a Timberwolf. I don't think of Kevin Garnett, first and foremost, as a Celtic. He was great while he was here. It's the reason why you got the championship. But when you think Kevin Garnett, do you think Celtic? Or do you think Minnesota?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Why? Because the answer is yes?
No, because I'm biased. I have a Boston outlook on things.
In which way? Yes or no? Is he a Celtic?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Garnett is a Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, he was
McCone, is Kevin Garnett a Celtic first and
Minnesota
foremost?
Minnesota for all
he's
those
a T-Wolf,
years.
Yeah.
He's a Timberwolf.
Yeah.
Jim, Kevin Garnett, first and foremost.
How does Kevin
team?
I say Celtic because that's the moment he's recognized.
Right, how does he want to be remembered? How would Kevin Garnett want to be remembered? As a Timberwolf
he's
or a Celtic?
He's recognized for that moment screaming to the ceiling after the winning the championship.
Tell
that's
me, what was
one
what,
moment.
What was his memorable thing he did as a Timberwolf? Wore the jersey? That you remember that? Like, oh, he was there. He won the MVP a bunch, didn't he? Great. Awesome. Do you remember anything about his time in Minnesota? Anything? Does the average NBA fan say, oh, remember that great moment he had with the Timberwolves? No.
When he was with Minnesota, he played with Latrell Sprewell and Stephon Marbury. That's what I remember him for, his teammates.
His best years were not in Boston.
No, but his most successful years were in Boston.
He was in Minnesota.
He was a winner in Boston. And he was the best. He was the best player on the team. He's the best player on the best team in the league.
6 years.
How does that not be the best year for you? I mean, what do you value?
6 years in Boston versus 14 split up between three different stints in Minnesota.
Retired as a Timberwolf, yeah.
14 seasons.
Okay, but it's not outrageous to suggest that he should get his number retired.
It's not outrageous. I just wouldn't do it.
I would do it.
Well, good. You can put together the ceremony and make it good this time so you don't feel let down.
I hope they get good gifts for him.
Little 10-year-old Beetle sitting in front of his TV with a lollipop, watching the whole ceremony from start to finish.
Didn't that feel a little Red Sox with the gifts? Like, oh boy,
I didn't even see the gifts. What did
Here
he get?
Go.
What did he get? Tell me.
He got.
I'm not kidding you. I watched the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
He got a replica banner.
That's nice. Those are tough to come by.
That was obviously smaller than the actual banner,
sure.
And was framed in authentic parquet.
That's nice.
There was a jersey framed with career highlights and statistics that were like etched into a piece of parquet.
Okay, that's nice. Hang that on the wall. Doesn't take up a lot of room. Good.
Here's a good one. Custom Rolex.
Yeah.
Custom Paul Pierce retirement Rolex.
Well, was it green? What was custom about it?
They didn't show it off, but it was definitely a Rolly. So he had that going for him. And
I don't know if you wear that. You got a watch that you like. You tend to wear that watch.
And then there was a stained glass.
That's nice. Oh, yeah. I can tell already. Right in the dumpster. What?
It was a stained glass backboard.
Go check the dumpster behind the TD Garden right now. That's where I'd put that thing. How the hell am I supposed to get that home on the plane?
And they named the tunnel after him.
They did. They painted
the LeBron
wall.
Workout tunnel is named the Paul Pierce Players Tunnel.
Right. It's now the Paul Pierce Players Tunnel.
That's quite an honor.
I mean, until like 2 years ago, the walls in that hallway were just like painted white. It's just a white nondescript hallway. Now it's the Paul Pierce Players Tunnel or Players Hallway.
Musty, dusty, concrete floor hallway is now the Paul Pierce.
Here you go, Hardy.
LeBron James.
I want Hardy to
resistance
see the video.
Band tunnel.
The resistance band. It's a stained glass backboard.
Dumpster.
It's not gaudy looking at all.
Oh, man. It's got a
gold rim and a gold net as
that
well.
That would make such a satisfying noise when you threw that thing in the dumpster. Oh, it would sound and feel so good. Beetle, we've talked about this. When you do the big house cleaning, you put the dumpster in your driveway, and some of that stuff, when you chuck it in there, it's like, oh, wow, I just lightened my load. That is awesome. Got that out of my life.
And some of the oddly satisfying things you throw in are things that you know other people would want. Like if you were to hold like a yard sale or a garage sale.
Yes.
You know someone else would come along and buy it.
Yes.
You're like, I don't even care.
I pick it out of the dump.
I don't want the $6. Nope. You have it.
I'm getting extra satisfaction in being wasteful at this moment.
Yes. That's exactly right. That's how you know you are doing a real cleanse.
What are you supposed to do with that?
I bet he's got a house big enough where he could find a spot for it. I'm guessing his house is big enough to find spaces for things like that.
A big enough garage, hopefully.
617-779-0985. Baseball thought coming your way. 90 seconds here. No commercials, just headlines.